On, we're in Psalm 23, and your Bibles should open up to that very page. Psalm 23, we're continuing in our study of the 23rd Psalm, talking about the shepherd and his sheep. And thus far, we've really only covered verse 1 and a little bit of verse number 2. We're hoping that we can at least make our way down to verse number 3. Amen. So if y'all listen up quick, I'll speak quick and we'll get down to verse 3. Amen. If not, then we might have to just stick with verse 2. Amen. Everybody got Psalm 23? Say amen.
Amen.
Any omies need just a minute or two? There should be Bibles in front of you. Amen. And flip those open to Psalm 23. And by God's grace, we're going to hopefully finish up the production of David Shepherd today and get down into the very next point. And we'll look forward to that. We're going to do the whole psalm. Many of you quoted that last week, and we appreciate that. Continue committing this one to prayer as well as the other one and commit it to memory as well. Psalm 23, let's start in verse number 1. I'm going to read the whole entire psalm. Here we go. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for this blessed passage that we have seen thus far. Thank you for the encouragement that it's been, Lord, knowing that if we're born again, if we're children of the Most High God, then you can be called by us your sheep, our shepherd. And thank you, Lord, that because of that, David said, I shall not want, neither do we have to want. Lord, we're so thankful that you make us lie down in the green pastures as well. Help us today as we look more at the resemblance of the sheep and us as your sheep and you as our shepherd, as David has you as his shepherd. Lord, may we be able to join in with David in saying the same things that he said about his shepherd. Help us, Lord, to understand more about sheep, because sheep resemble us. Lord, we may know exactly how we fit into your flock and what we can do in regards to you and what you can do in regards for us. And help us, Lord, to take full advantage of being sheep of the great and chief shepherd. Lord, speak to every heart, every mind that is here today. Many are the needs, and you as a shepherd know each sheep by name. And Lord, I know that you can meet the need that is here in every sheep's life that is under the sound of my voice. Help now, Lord, and Miss Reva as well with the doctor's aid and with the medical assistance that is there to effect a change in her body and her life. And Lord, we just pray the wisdom will be granted there. And here in this place, Lord, may our hearts be arrested to the fact that, Lord, you are a shepherd, and we want to make sure that we as your sheep are doing right by you. Speak to that one that is not born again today, that's not saved, that they may become your sheep. And Lord, may you get all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Brother Wilbur is going to be singing for us this morning.
Writer of this song before, as he wrote this song, as he was getting preparing himself, he'd had the recollection, you know, of here in America, we've got a free land, we've got everything given to us, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord as we see fit, and when we see fit, we don't have to worry about someone stopping us from coming to church. And yet, as we've seen in recent days, things are changing. Things are changing. I mean, I don't think my parents would have ever thought legislation would have just been passed, a ruling that came down in the Supreme Court that just came down just a couple weeks ago. some of the things that are happening. And yet, as he sits there, he says, you know, people could take their Bibles to church, to school, and now that's being taken out. The Ten Commandments being taken out, you know, of plaques everywhere. And yet, he sits there when he wrote this song. He says, I hope that I could say these words boldly when the time persecution does come. What's going to happen in this country in the days to follow? We don't know. We aren't promised tomorrow, as the Bible says. But if the Bible tells us, if we don't call out to God and ask for his healing, he'll shut up the windows of heaven. Yet we need to, his people need to turn back to him, and we need to get there. Because as the song says, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor his commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I have heard how Christians long ago were brought before a tyrant's throne. They were told that he would spare their lives if they would renounce the name of Christ. But one by one they chose to die. The Son of God they would not deny, like a great angelic choir sings. I can almost hear their voices ring. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor his command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Now the years have come and the years have gone, and the cause of Jesus still goes on. Now the time has come to count the cost, to reject this world and embrace the cross. And one by one, let us live our lives for the one who died to give us life, till the trumpet sounds on that final day. Let us proudly stand and boldly say, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor his commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb, to the Lamb of God, who bore my pain, who took my shame. I will seek to honor his commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I pledge pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Wilbur. It's good to pledge allegiance to the country. Amen. It's also much better to pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Amen. Good to be in the Lord's house again. Good to hear about pledging allegiance. Amen. Well, I do trust that you have been following along in the study about the shepherd and his sheep. And as we are all sheep of some type, some of us are saved sheep, some of us are lost sheep, I do trust you'll find your place, amen, and then do whatever it is that's necessary to do in the will of God. Amen. All right, well, our Bible should be Psalms 23. Thus far in Psalm 23, we've looked at several messages here already, just trying to figure out the shepherd and the sheep, amen. And by the way, if you're here, you're already considered a sheep. Now, whether you are a saved sheep or a lost sheep is up to you and your relationship with the shepherd. But you are God's creation, first and foremost, but He wants to take that creation and then create in that person a born-again spirit or born-again heart so that you can be one of His sheep, amen. One thing to be His creation, another thing to be His child, amen. That happens by being born again. So we're all sheep, but it just depends on whether we're saved or whether we're lost. And then for those that are sheep that are saved, then you've got to ask, am I close to the shepherd? Or am I straying from the shepherd? Amen. Because there is a difference. Amen. You can belong to the shepherd. Amen. But then wander off for many different reasons and different things. But He always comes back looking for His own. Amen. And He always wants to bring you back to His precious bleeding side to see that. Amen. David is the writer here. This is probably one of the most well-known of the Psalms by both saved and unsaved alike. And we've covered all of verse number one already. We saw the position of David's shepherd there in verse number one, and he is the Lord. And we saw also not just the position of David's shepherd, but also the possession of David's shepherd. He says, you know what? The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. That's something to be able to say, the Lord's my shepherd, and to be able to call on Him at any time. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, and I can call on Him anytime. By the way, the sheep can have the access to the shepherd at any time. And we as God's sheep have access to the shepherd at any time. That's why we could pray for Reva and ask God's blessing upon her. Although we are here and she's in Phoenix. Amen. Guess what? The great shepherd is still up there as well. And so we see the possession of David's shepherd. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. And then we saw the provision of the shepherd as well. David said, you know what? Because of his position and because I possess him, you know what? He gives me provisions. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Have everything I have need of. Amen. Doesn't say that he doesn't have some desires. By the way, if you're God's sheep and you say, well, I've got some wants and I've got some desires. Not talking about that. He's saying he doesn't have need of anything. Now, the truth be known, you and I don't really have a need for anything. You say, well, I need some more money. Amen. We can all use some more money. Oh, I need some food. We can always have more food. Well, I need a bigger house. We can always use a bigger. But the truth be known, you don't really need physically anything. Spiritually, we need a whole lot. Spiritually, we that's why we're saying, fill my cup, Lord. Fill my cup. Fill it up and make it whole. Spiritually, we always are in dire need of the shepherd. And but David says here, you know, when it comes to physical things, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so he gives provisions as well. And then we left off on number the point number four, which was the production of his shepherd in verse number two. He says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And we talked about two things here. Actually, one thing, the shepherd produces rest for the sheep. And the word maketh means to make to cause or to basically force someone into a position. Yep. And you say, why would he have to do that? Because of the nature of sheep. Amen. How many of y'all have children? How many of y'all have to make your children take a nap at times? Amen. Amen. How many of you have to make your children brush their teeth? Amen. How many have to make them eat vegetables that they necessarily don't like? Amen. You don't have to make them eat ice cream. You don't have to make them to eat candy and popsicles. You don't have to make them to drink soda. They automatically will down that. But you talk about the healthy stuff that they really need. Got to make them do that. And so David said, you know what? Because of the position of my shepherd, he's the Lord. Because of the possession, he's my shepherd. And because of the provisions that he gives me, I shall not want. He says, you know what? There's some production that he wants to make in my life. He maketh me. Yeah. By the way, if you want something, you need to make it, don't you? Sometimes the sheep just don't know that it's good for them to lay down. Mm-hmm. Now, us older folk, we know we need to lay down. Amen. Problem is, we just don't get a chance to lay down. Amen. Because of work and children and things of that nature. Amen. So the production of his shepherd, because of the nature of sheep, they're very skittish and they're very scary. There were four things that the author Philip Keller described that prevent the sheep from getting rest. We began talking about those. The first one, the shepherd can give rest from fear. Because of their nature, the sheep are very fearful of things. And so the shepherd gives rest from fear. And so when the shepherd is near, the sheep don't fear. But as soon as the shepherd goes away, they are prone to fear. And then number two, we talked about the shepherd can give rest from friction. And we found out that there is a pecking order in regards to sheep, and it's called the butting order. So what does it mean, the butting order? They will butt one another for superiority to get their way. And we found out that oftentimes in the home, there's some butting going on. A little brother butts on a smaller brother, and maybe bigger sister butts on the other brother. Or maybe mama butts on husband, or husband butts against wife. Amen. Hey, but the biblical order is Jesus Christ first, Father second, the lady submissive, and the children obedient. Amen. That's the biblical fashion. And so there shouldn't be any butting at all, but oftentimes there is. And by the way, sometimes there's even butting in the house of God. You say, no, preacher, say it ain't so. Sometimes there's friction in the house of God. Folks are butting for superiority, butting for priority, butting for this and butting for that. Amen. And so we did begin to butt one another in the house of God. And that should never be. Should never be. But if we're honest, sometimes it does happen. Someone rubs us the wrong way. Say, preacher, no. Preacher, yes. Say, preacher, what should I do if someone rubs me the wrong way? Turn around. They won't rub you the wrong way. Anyway. Amen. You'll be going the same way they're going. Amen. It's called repentance. Amen. Sometimes rubbing the wrong way is good, especially if you're going the wrong way. Amen. And so that can be a good thing. And so we saw that the shepherd can give rest from fear, friction. But then the third one, they can get rest from flies. Now, I don't like flies any more than you. An assortment of flies can be a source of grief to the sheep, preventing rest, because they're constantly swatting the flies, and the flies can lay eggs, we talked about last week, and cause all sorts of problems. And so for the sheep or the saint of God, guess what? We have flies too. There are annoying things in our life that bug us. We can't get any rest. Sometimes they're people. Sometimes they're problems. Sometimes they're programs. Sometimes it's persistent things that happen in our life. Sometimes it's pain. It just annoys us, and we don't like it. It's a fly. And the shepherd can get rest from that. Yeah, I'm like you. I remember when I used to have the chronic headaches, which I still have. Folks used to say to me, how are your headaches? I said, I try not to think about it, because the more I think about it, the more it hurts. Amen. And it was a fly. It was an annoying thing. Almost as bad as a mosquito. How many of y'all like mosquitoes? The thing that's different about mosquitoes and flies is normally you can see a fly. Mosquitoes, you can't see them oftentimes. You just hear that, and you start swatting at the air, amen, and you get that thing. I remember years ago, me and my wife went up to stay at the Williams Air Force Base up there in Williams, Arizona, back when it was an Air Force Base, Pastor White, amen. They closed it down, and we had mosquitoes in the room. And I couldn't get any sleep in the hotel at all. I mean, mosquito, I swatted, and they just annoyed me. I couldn't get any rest. I said, honey, that's it. It was about, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning? I said, that's it. I'm getting out of this hotel. I'm going home so I can get some rest. I swatted my last mosquito. We loaded up the bikes because we had been biking up there, and we started coming home. And on I-10, by about Speedway, the bikes fell off the back of the car.
Oh, no.
In the highway. No. And I'm thinking, them flies wasn't so bad now. I probably should have stayed up there. I probably would have got more rest than I'm getting out in the middle of the highway dragging my bikes off this highway. But guess what? Those flies annoyed me just that bad. I mean, those mosquitoes annoyed me. You know, there are certain things that can annoy you and that can annoy me. And when they annoy us, we can't get what we need to get from God. And so David says, you know what? He maketh me to lie down. And there was a fourth thing that we said as well. Not only is there a problem with fear on the sheep, and not only is there a problem with friction, not only is there a problem with flies, the fourth thing is food. If they're hungry, they can't get rest.
That's right.
How many of y'all like that? You get hungry, you can't get rest. Amen. Tapeworm starts growling. The problem is when you eat, then you get too much rest. And so if I've got these flies, and if I've got this friction going on in the camp, and I've got this fear going on, I'm too afflicted to even feed on anything. We found out the correlation for the Christian. Oftentimes, if we've got fear, if we've got friction going on, and if we've got these flies, these annoying things, we can't get the food of the Word of God. And as a result, I become a weak sheep, and I'm prone to pray. And I'm not talking about this kind of pray. I'm a prey to scavengers coming in, coyotes and dogs and things like that. Problems will come in and will interfere. And I told you there was a fifth thing as well that they didn't list, but I found to be true in my own life. Talking about the shepherd produces rest for the sheep. The shepherd can give rest from fear, rest from friction, rest from flies, and rest for food. Then I found out this fifth one was true in my life. The shepherd can give rest by fracture.
Yes,
sir. Say, preacher, what do you mean by fracture? He says he maketh me to lie down. He causes me to lie down. And he makes me lie down where it's good for me. And I don't want to do that oftentimes. What do you mean fracture? Sometimes God's got to basically cripple us.
Yes, sir, he does.
So that we can't go anywhere but where he tells us to go. I remember years ago when I first came to Tucson, I did not want to be here, as most of y'all know.
Yes, sir.
I thought God was going to leave me in Belgium. I was going to be a youth director over there, a youth pastor over there, all the days of my life. I was going to be a traveling evangelist speaking at all the youth camps, and that's what God was going to do. And then God did the unthinkable and gave me orders to Tucson.
Amen.
And I said, God, you have made a colossal mistake. I'm supposed to be in Belgium, not Tucson. And so all the while, I was trying to deviate God's system and circumvent God's system, all down to Brother Hall trying to get a job to work on Sundays when I know that wasn't the will of God. But I figured I'm so suave of a talker, I'd get in and talk to my boss, and I'd say, you know what? It's God's will that I'd be here, so I need you to let me off every Sunday.
Amen.
And he was going to say yes, because I had that kind of a walk with God.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
Well, I went back to get that job, and they said, no, you can't have it. It's closed.
Cool.
So here I come to Tucson. Now, after I got to Tucson, I happened to be here maybe about a month or so. I'm already looking for jobs and trying to get back. My boss spotted me trying to get a job back into Belgium. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going back to Belgium because that's where I'm supposed to be.
Oh,
right about that time, I had my surgery number one on my back. I had injured it over in Belgium. That's why I couldn't stay in Belgium. And I came back to Tucson. I had surgery number one on my back. And God said, how do you like that? I said, I hate it. He said, why do you hate it? I said, because it's in Tucson. If I'm going to be on my back, put me over in Belgium on my back. I don't want to be here on my back. I got up from surgery number one.
Yes,
I went back for surgery number two because they messed up on surgery number one.
Uh-huh.
And I went into surgery number, and God said, how you like that? I said, I hate this too. You leave me back in Belgium, I wouldn't have all these surgeries.
Yeah.
Well, surgery two wasn't a success.
Oh, my goodness.
So I went back for surgery number three.
Oh, my goodness.
Back under the knife again. I went back under surgery number three. God said, how you like that? I said, I hate this one too. Even worse than the first one. If I was in Belgium, I wouldn't have these problems. That one didn't work either.
No, it didn't.
He said, preacher, three strikes you out. Yeah, that's what I thought too. I go back in for surgery number four. God said, how you like this? I said, well, I think you're trying to tell me something. I think you're trying to tell me that maybe, just maybe, I ought to be content here in Tucson.
Amen.
And just maybe I ought to not stop complaining so much and giving my wife grief, because now my problem is beginning to be her flies, and I'm annoying to her.
That's good, Mr. Thomas.
And just maybe you ought to be content about Tucson.
That's true.
Well, I was halfway convinced. Then there was surgery number five.
Uh-huh.
What am I saying? Sometimes he maketh me to lie down. And on my back there, laying down, praying as my wife was going to church, enjoying herself, coming back and giving me messages that I didn't really want to hear because I wanted to be there myself. I say, God, I think you really want me to be here in Tucson.
Amen.
Now, Lord, you know my heart's desire is back there in Belgium.
Yeah.
Now, my wife has already prophesied to me and said that we ought to be in Tucson. But she ain't no prophet because lady can't handle lady prophet in the house.
Amen.
I don't want to listen to her. But I think I hear you speaking loud and clear.
Oh, yeah.
And whilst I'm here on my back with a broke back, with surgeries that don't work, and I still came out with the same headaches and the same back problems, five surgeries later, nothing's even any remotely better, all to get my attention.
Yeah, amen, Pastor. Amen.
What am I saying? Sometimes God puts us on our backs.
To
make us lie down in green pastures. And sometimes it's not the friction. It's not the flies. It's not the food. It's not all these other things. Sometimes by fracture, God says, I'm going to make you lie down because you're my sheep and I love you and I care about you. And this is good for you to lay down so you can hear me. And you don't seem to listen very well.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
And so five surgeries later, guess what? I start singing that song, I surrender all, I surrender all. And then it was my wife's turn. I said, well, God wants me to plant a church. My wife said, you can't look at you. Your back's broke. You've been in these surgeries. What are you going to do? God, look, I ain't going for number six. I'm going to start this church right now. Pastor Nelson, God's called me to preach. Can y'all get behind me? Boom. They see me. My wife's ready to call him up. Look, he broke down. He's battered. He's bruised. He can't start no church. I said, look, if God told me to start it, I am not going back for surgery number six. I'm tired of being on my back. He's making me to lie down. I'm laid down. Now I'm getting up. Amen. Because I ain't lying down no more in that spot. Amen. I wasn't any better anyway. Still had my headaches. Still had my backaches. Had to carry them hymn books back into the school, Pastor White, back and forth to set up the school. Miss Shirley, remember them days, amen, bringing all the hymn books in, bringing all the carpet in, bringing all this stuff in, taking it all back home.
Ouch.
All with my broke back.
Oh, my goodness.
What am I saying? Sometimes God's got to get us on our backs. But there's only one way we can look, and that's up.
Yes, sir.
And there's only one person that can get us off of our backs, and that's the shepherd. There's only one person we can cry to is the shepherd. I cried to my wife. She wasn't having it. She said, we ain't going back to Belgium. It ain't going to happen.
Amen.
I said, but I believe that's where God wants us. Well, you'd be going without me.
Amen.
And she didn't say that.
Yeah.
But I know she was thinking it. The mind reader, you're going without me. You're getting sleepy.
Amen.
What am I saying? Sometimes.
Yes.
God has used fracture. Sometimes. You know, maybe there's something that you have that you've had for quite some time. Maybe God's trying to get your attention. Maybe not. But maybe he is. For me, I didn't get it the first time. I didn't get it the second time. I didn't get it the third time.
Uh-oh.
I didn't get it the fourth time.
Right.
The fifth time, I got it.
Oh, yeah.
Just like our ectopic pregnancy. My wife got pregnant three times. And I wasn't getting that I needed to be there for her more often until the third time I finally got it. Lord, this is really not about her. This is about me.
Amen.
I need to be a better husband to her. I need to be a better companion. I need to be listen to her. I need to be there for her. It wasn't until the third time that God made her lie down on her back that he got my attention. Maybe God's trying to get your attention through your spouse. Maybe God's trying to get your attention through your children. Maybe God's trying to get your attention through some circumstances, but he is going to get rest for his sheep one way or another. He's going to make you lie down. Why? He knows what's best for his sheep.
Amen.
And he's going to get it one way or another, whether you agree with it or not. I tell you what, I didn't agree with it, but guess what? God did it. What am I saying? The shepherd produces rest for the sheep. Sometimes it's not food or flies. Sometimes it's not friction or fear. Sometimes it's by fracture, and he wants to get our attention. Hold your finger there. Turn over to Psalm 119. Show you something here. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like being afflicted. Now, maybe you're different. You say, oh, I love being afflicted, preacher. I don't. But I have to agree with the psalmist. Psalm 119, verse 67. Notice what the psalmist says. Before I was afflicted, notice this, I went astray. In other words, he was saying, Lord, before you dealt with me and before you gave me something that I really didn't like, I was going astray. He said, but now have I kept thy word. Come down to verse number 71. He says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. I can heartily say now, it's good for me that I've been afflicted. Because before I was afflicted, I went astray. I was going back to Belgium. I was going to do my own thing. There are many, many people in this church that would not be saved if I'd have disobeyed God and stayed over in Belgium.
Amen.
Amen. Why? God knew what he was doing with my life. God knew where he wanted me. God knows where the sheep need to go. He knows where the grazing pastures are at. He knows where he's trying to lead you. God knows, and sometimes he wants to get your attention to get you to follow, and sometimes he's got to make you lie down.
Amen.
You have no other reason but to lay there. Notice what he says down in 75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness, notice this, has afflicted me. The psalmist said, you know what, God, I know because you're faithful and you know what's best. You've afflicted me, God, because you're faithful.
Amen.
God is not into the process of trying to hurt you for no reason at all. He doesn't want you to suffer unnecessarily. Do you think that he wants Jesus Christ to get on the cross unnecessarily? There was a reason he was afflicted. There was a reason he was crucified. There was a reason he had the crown of thorns planted upon his head. There was a reason they plucked his beard out. There was a reason he did all it, because it should have happened to you and I.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
And he did it all on Jesus so that you and I could go free. There was a reason. We couldn't take it. We couldn't stand underneath the torture. We couldn't stand it. And by the way, we only have one life. But there was a reason why he was afflicted. There was a reason why he was acquainted with grief. There was a reason he was a man of sorrows. There's a reason. And there's a reason why God sometimes has to afflict you. Sometimes has to afflict me to make us lie down in green pastures. Folks, I don't like it any more than you like it. Matter of fact, I hate it. But I know it's good for me. And the psalmist said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. He said, but you know what? Now I kept your word. Now I understand. Now I know why. He maketh me to lie down. And sometimes God's got to do that. What am I talking about? The production of his shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Not only does the shepherd give rest from flies and fear and friction and by fracture and sometimes for food. Godliness with contentment is great gain. God is trying to get us some contentment in our lives. Contentment in the will of God is what we need. The sheep need to have confidence that the shepherd knows what he's doing. Let me ask you a question, friend. Do you know that the shepherd knows what he's doing?
Amen.
Do you trust what he's doing? Well, you don't have the problems that I have. You don't have the problems that I have.
Amen.
Well, you haven't seen what I saw. You haven't seen what I've seen. You haven't been where I've been. You haven't been where I've been. See, we could exchange it all the day, but you know what? Someone knows where you've been. Someone knows what you have seen. Someone knows what you've gone through. And that someone is Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd, the true shepherd. He understands. He knows. And he says, look, I want to make you lie down. David said, he maketh me to lie down. And I'm so glad he does, because I wouldn't do it on my own. And by the way, you wouldn't do it on your own either. Sheep can't often lie down, and can't lie down. It must be made to do so because of their nature. The shepherd knows where the green pastures are. Green pastures means something that's prosperous and habitable. It's a pleasant place. And now the shepherd has our undivided attention by meeting our need and making us to lie down. We can graze in his green pastures. David said down there back in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He's making me to lie down where I can graze now, where the food is good. And so not only does the shepherd produce rest, but the shepherd produces something else, refreshment in Psalm 23. He says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I don't know about you, but water's good. Yeah, I drink it all the time when I'm preaching. Much like you and I, sheep are made of approximately 70% of water, they say. And it's just as vital to his metabolism as it is to ours to operate properly. And the shepherd knows where the still waters are. However, for the shepherd to get them to the still waters. They have to follow. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Think about that. Down in the country, can he say that you can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink? God can lead, but will we follow? The shepherd can lead, but will the sheep follow? He leadeth me beside the still waters. Sheep won't drink from rapid moving waters. They're fearful of the rushing noise. Neither can they swim. And the danger of falling in and being drowned is great. And so the shepherd leads and the sheep must follow. And therefore, they must be led to the still waters that are often found and manufactured by the shepherds. And in the book, they said that there's three basic types of water sources that the sheep drink from. The first one is deep wells, where the shepherd has to do all the work and he has to go to the wells and get the water and bring it to a location where the sheep can drink and it becomes still. Other, he said, there's fountains and there's streams and brooks that are flowing slow enough where they're not afraid of it. But then the third one is the one that I found most interesting. He said the third one, sheep can get a good majority of their water from the dew off of plants. Imagine that. How many of y'all remember the dew on the plants back when you had grass? You woke up in the morning and the dew is all on the grass. You go out there in your bare feet and you get all wet. And it's like, ooh, look at that. It's all wet. Then you come back inside. Your mama gets on you because you went outside. And it says much of the water intake can be gained from the plants that they eat with dew on them. But there's a caveat. They've got to get up early enough before the sun burns it off. Because after a while, what happens to that dew? It evaporates. And it's gone. And so those are the three basic sources that they said that the still waters come by or that they get. The deep wells that are there, the stream springs and the brooks, and then the morning dew on the plants. And much of that can be on the dew-filled plants in the pasture where they're grazing at. And if they're grazing early enough, the sun won't dry it away. What is the parallel that we can bring on that? If we don't get the water of the Word of God early in the morning, problems of life will burn you up. How many of y'all ever tried to go running or something like that in the heat without water? Boy, you waste away real quick. You don't get any water. You'll pass out. You'll faint from heat exhaustion. Why? That's how much we need the water. And I liken this to the necessity that we have in getting the water of the Word of God. If we don't get the water of the Word that we need, we can't function properly, just like the sheep. The word leadeth means this: to conduct and protect while sustaining, to carry or to feed or to guide and to lead gently on. And there's a quote: God will never lead you where he can't take care of you. Amen. Hey, think about Elijah. God said, hey, look, Elijah, I want you to get over there and tell our old wicked king that there's not going to be any rain for 3.5 years until you say so. And he said, look, there ain't going to be no rain. And God said, all right, now I want you to go over there and I got a brook that's going to take care of you. He went over there and the brook dried up. And guess what? He said, all right, the brook's dried up. I want you to go over here. I got a widow woman that's taking care of you. Hey, what am I saying? God did not lead him any place where God couldn't take care of him. Everywhere he went, God took care of him miraculously. What am I saying? God can take care of you as his sheep. Why? Because he loves you. He's going to make you lie down in green pastures. He's going to lead you beside the still waters where you can drink. Whether he brings it himself, or whether you get it from the brook, or whether you get it from the stream, or you get it from the dew of the plants. Amen. You got to get it. Amen. By the way, if you don't get it, you will wear away.
Right.
If these sheep didn't get water, they would waste away.
Right,
let me ask you, how's your liquid intake of the Word of God? Are you getting up early feeding on the plants of the Word of God? Are you feeding on the leaves of the pages of the Word of God? Are you ingesting it and getting enough water into you where you can live the water of the Word of God?
Yes.
You got to.
Amen. You
got to. Hey, let me tell you something. If you don't, you're going to get scorched.
Yes, sir, you will be.
You're going to get scorched. Clarence Sexton had a comment that tickled me. He said this. He says, why go through every day with a parched soul when we can be refreshed early from the presence of the Lord? Amen. Hey, why? The problems are going to come. The sun's going to heat up. The problems are going to heat up. And I've got to have that water. It's too late to get it when I'm already burnt up. Faith bought a little plant home from school, and they were supposed to plant a little bean plant. And it was growing good for a while, but then it died. And guess what? It died. I tried to resuscitate it. I poured a whole bunch of water on it. Guess what it did? Nothing. I let it dry up and I poured some more water on it. Guess what it did?
Nothing.
Nothing
again.
I was like, maybe it's like Jack and the Beanstalk. Maybe I do something to it.
That's good, Pastor.
Nothing. Good. You know why I didn't do anything? Good. It was scorched. It was dead.
Yes, sir, it was.
Hey, you don't want to have the problems of the world coming up at you and you haven't done anything. Then you get scorched and then you lose your testimony and you can't get it back. You told this lie and it's forever gone. You told that person off. They're forever told off. And you lied against on God and it's forever a lie. Or you stop and you quit on God and you forever quit. Amen. You cannot get it back. You might be able to get restored, but guess what? What has happened has happened. And you can't do anything about that except call on the mercy and the grace of God.
Amen.
I'm just saying, I could pour all the water I wanted to on that plant. It wasn't going to do anything because it was dead. It was dead. What is the psalmist saying? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He conducts me. He protects me whilst he's sustaining me. He carries me. He feeds me. He directs me where I can be productive by receiving what's best for me to produce the godliness that I need. So not only does he lead me beside the still waters, then notice in verse number 3, the purification of David's shepherd. The purification of David's shepherd. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. We're going to park there for a while. He restoreth my soul. Now he goes on to say, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. But let's just talk about he restoreth my soul. John Phillips had an interesting comment about this phrase. He says, the word restoreth is a far stronger word than it seems on the surface. In Hebrew, it literally means he brings back my soul. He brings back my soul. He goes on to say, that is the point of the Lord's story of the lost sheep. A sheep is not smart like a lion, is not swift like an antelope, is not smart like a dog. The outstanding characteristic of a sheep is that it is stupid. That's what he says. I'm not stupid. Well, why did you sin? When you know it's not right. I wouldn't call that smart. Well, I wouldn't call it stupid either. What would you call it? By the way, that's a quote. I didn't say that. It's a quote. I see my wife saying, why'd you call us stupid? Just reading the quote. Reading the quote, honey. Hey, what is it? He says, they are not smart. He says, when a sheep goes astray, it does so for no reason. And once it has gone astray, it cannot find its own way back home. That's why we got to call out to God. That is why the good shepherd had to leave the 99 sheep and in the wilderness and go after the one who was lost. Because we're not smart. The word restoreth means to bring back again, to recover, to refresh, to restore. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Restoreth has the idea of being cast down on their backs and unable to get upright again. When you talk about restore, there's a shepherd's term called cast. And when David said cast down, it means to be on your flip side, on your back with all four legs standing up. And to be cast down was that understanding. And so the sheep, when he was cast down, had to be restored. So David said, you know what? When I'm cast down, he restores my soul.
Amen.
Ironically, when it comes to this type of restoration, couple books, Chappell and Keller, both agree that three things normally cause the sheep to get on their backs and to need restoring upright. Number one, he said it was their minds. In their minds, the sheep chose too comfortable of a spot, allowing them to roll over. And when they would choose a spot that was too comfortable, it may be camouflaged with a dip. You know, if you have all this greenery growing up here, how many of y'all have been walking and all the grass seems to be the same level and you walk in a hole? Amen. That happened to me one time playing baseball. I was running to catch a ball, and right before I caught the ball, I stepped in the hole and I sunk. And guess what happened? The ball caught me.
The ball caught you, Pastor.
Caught me right in the head. I was running to the ball. I got it. And boom, I went down. And when I went down, my glove went down. The ball said, boom. And sometimes the sheep will look at the grass, and all the grass looks the same. And they will get in there, and they'll choose one of the best-looking places. But that's the place where the ditch is at.
Oh, yes.
And so when they go to lay down, they roll over, and that's what they call being cast. They're down on their backs now, and sheep, when they get on their back, when all fours aren't touching the ground, they cannot get back up by themselves. And so there they are. And if they don't get help from the shepherd, things in their metabolism start going haywire, and they can die.
Yes, sir, they can.
And so the first thing is they can get into a position that is not a good position. And their minds, they pick the comfortable spot. What is the comparison for you and I? Sometimes you and I can get too comfortable in our Christian life picking the comfortable spot. How many of y'all got one of those lazy boys where it's tough for you to get out of once you get in it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's one of those lazy boys that just kind of surrounds you and envelops you. And you sit down, you're like, oh, this feels good. But then you got to call help to get out of the chair.
Yeah.
Can somebody help me? You got to start pulling on stuff to get out of the chair. Amen. Some of those chairs are comfortable. They surround you and they just kind of swallow you up. But then to get out of it, you got to roll out of it just about. Roll out of this thing. And sometimes as Christians, we can get to the point where we take the comfortable role. We want to take the comfortable spot. We want to take that comfortable place. And then we roll over and we're so comfortable that we're on our backs. We can't even get out of the comfort zone anymore. For some folks, God has to try to get you. I want you to be a missionary. Well, I'm comfortable. Well, I want you to start giving. Well, I'm comfortable. Well, I want you to give the missions. Well, I'm comfortable. Well, I want you to go over here and teach a class. Well, I'm comfortable. I want you to drive the bus. Well, I'm comfortable. Well, I want you to usher. Well, I'm comfortable. I want you to work in a nursery. Well, I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable. And it's going to take an act of God to get me out.
Amen.
He can make you lie down in green pastures.
He can.
He can put you on your back. Or he can leave you there and you can miss an opportunity. First thing he says in their minds, they choose too comfortable of a spot, allowing them to roll over, and on their backs they can't do anything. They're comfortable like being in a lazy boy chair you sink into. The second thing they said that sheep normally get cast by is their material. They have too much wool and they're too heavy and they roll over. The wool catches debris, it catches dung, it catches dirt, it catches on thorns and thickets, and it catches on things. And the wool begins to get so heavy that when the sheep goes to lie down, he actually rolls over on his back because he's too heavy, because he's got too much garbage in his wool. That's why they had to shear sheep sometimes.
That's right, they do.
Because they get too much stuff in them. God ever had to shear something off of you?
Yes.
Amen. By the way, in the book it said that the shepherds really don't like the shearing any more than the sheep like the shearing.
That's
because
right.
They got to fight with the sheep.
Oh, yes.
Does God have to fight with you when he's trying to shear stuff off of you?
Oh, man.
It's no good for you anyway. The Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. He says, lay it aside. It's running you down. It's holding you down. It's slowing you down the race. Let it go.
Amen.
We don't let it go. God says, I got to cut it off of you then.
Right,
he starts clipping off friends. Starts clipping off places. Start clipping off entertainments. Start clipping off books. And start clipping off salaries. And starts clipping stuff off. Say, you don't need that. You don't need this. But I do need this. No, you don't. No more than the sheep needs it. Sometimes God's got to do that. Amen. Because sometimes material possessions get the best of us. Just like the sheep is weighed down by too much wool on his body. We've got too many things sometimes that hinder us. And the shepherd is trying to help us out. He restoreth. Then thirdly, they say sometimes it's their motives. Their motives. The sheep can overeat and get lethargic and lazy from being too fat. And if it wasn't bad enough, their minds, they got the comfortable spot and went over. They can't get up. And now they got too much wool on them that's got a bunch of junk on it. And they go over. And then they go out and they graze and they eat. And they're too comfortable because they got fat now. And they fall over. And some sheep just think about eating and being lazy. Some Christians just think about selfishness. It's all about me.
Amen.
It's all about my four no more. Preacher, it's all about me. I don't care about anybody. I'm going to eat. Then you fall over from being selfish and a glutton.
Amen.
Amen. I ain't going to help nobody else but myself. If it ain't in for me, I ain't helping. How about just sacrifice for Jesus? Hey, it's ironic that they said these things. In each instance, the shepherd has to come and set the sheep upright. They cannot do it themselves. Try as they may, like us, we get into these predicaments. We get into these situations where our minds, we get too comfortable. Our materials, we're too clingy. Our motives, we're too carnal. And God can't work in our lives. And he's got to cut some stuff off of us. Amen. Just like the shepherd has to go and cut stuff off the sheep. Say, preacher, what's the parallel? Give you this and we're going to close. In our minds, sometimes we can get too comfortable. Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then ye prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Why? Our minds can get comfortable. We can get in our own ways. Vance Havner said this, preaching is supposed to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Amen. Read that again. Preaching is supposed to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Amen. What I'm saying, if you're comfortable and you're lazy boy and you're easy chair and you're fat boy or whatever it's called, amen, guess what? God says you're too comfortable.
Yes, sir. He's right, Pastor.
By the way, last time I checked, normally we don't do anything. We're comfortable. It's only when we're in dire need. It's when we're in straits. When we know we've got to do something. We've got to be right with God. I've got to confess my sin. I've got to knock on that door. I've got to do some praying. I've got to do something like that. When we're comfortable, we forget all about that. We forget all about that. Our minds are the first things that we slip in. And once we slip in our minds, we're gone. That's why they say casting down imaginations. It's not what you think is about what the shepherd says. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth. It's his job to restore us. Our minds, we can get too comfortable. Unless the mother eagle, Gregory, get a kick out of this. Unless the mother eagle breaks up her nest, the eaglets will become accustomed to comfort, limiting their ability to fly. Many of us can't fly because we want comfort and not Christ the shepherd. I'm just saying. Sometimes we want comfort. By the way, let me give you this. Did Jesus have an easy road? No. He said, I don't even have a place to lay my head down. He said, I don't have a place to lay my head. He was acquainted with grief and rejection. Everywhere he went, somebody didn't like him. But guess what? He went and did it anyway. He wasn't comfortable. Our minds, we get too comfortable. Our materials, we get too clingy. 1 John 2:15, love not the world. Neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We can get too clingy, too comfortable, getting weighed down, and now we're cast down. We're on our backs, and we can't do anything. Why? I'm too clingy to my possessions. Hey, I'm too comfortable in my mind. But then the third one, our motives are too carnal. Revelations 3:17, let's go over there. Revelations 3:17, and we're going to close with this. Revelations 3:17. Because the sheep don't know what's good for them. In Revelations 3 and verse 17, you know the church, Laodicea. You know the time period, the time we're living in right now, I believe. You say, preacher, why would you say that? Because they say the same thing that many people say today. Revelations chapter 3, notice verse 17 says this. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. They're saying, hey, we're rich, Church of Laodicea. Jesus said, you're lukewarm. You're not cold, you're not hot, you're lukewarm. You're in the middle. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. What I'm saying, our motives were too carnal. We think, hey, I'm increased with goods, so that must mean I'm prosperous. Hey, prosperity gospel is not God's gospel. Well, if I live a certain way, if I live this way, and if I do this, then God's going to give me all these material possessions. No, he never promised you that in the New Testament. That's to Israel in the Old Testament. Now, does that mean he's not going to bless you? No, it doesn't mean no. He will bless you, but not the way you think he will. He'll bless you spiritually to have fruit. Now, you may be blessed to have a life like Joseph of Arimathea and be rich. You may be like Zacchaeus, who was rich, amen, who gave most of his away. You may be like Barnabas, who has property to sell. But guess what? Most of us are not. And this church said, we're rich. We don't have need of anything. Jesus said, you're wretched. You're miserable. You're poor. You're blind. You're naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. My kind, that's afflictions, tried in the fire. We don't like afflictions, but before afflictions, you'll go astray. Amen. I don't like hard times, but he said, you know what? You'd be tried in the fire. That thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that's righteousness, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Why? All our righteousness is as filthy rags. We need God to clothe us. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. He said, you're blind, you can't see. Hey, the sheep often can't see where the water is. They can't see where the pasture is. They've got to trust the shepherd to guide them to it. Amen. These people can't see. Why? Number one, their motives were all messed up. They were carnal. Their material, they were too clingy. In their minds, they were too comfortable. And that's the picture of the church at Laodicea. They're too comfortable. They're too clingy to the world. They're too carnal in their thinking. And sometimes the shepherd has to come and restore that sheep who's been cast down, who's on his back, and he's got to restore that one. David said, he restoreth my soul. You know, today maybe you're cast down. Maybe you need some restoration today. David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Notice he didn't say, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You don't have a salvation except for what God gives you. And he said, I want to be restored to the joy of my salvation. What did he say? He restoreth my soul. Yes, I committed adultery. I went into Bathsheba. Yes, I murdered Uriah. I had him killed. Yes, I covered it. Yes, Nathan came and approached me. Restore the joy that I used to have when I first got saved. Oh, God, I want to feel that way again. Light as a feather, without a care in the world. I've cumbered about with clinginess, and I've cumbered about with comfortableness. And, Lord, I've got this old conformity to the world here. God, let me get rid of that. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. God, let me feel like it used to feel back when I was in love with you. When you were the apple of my eye, I took my eyes off of you and started looking at Bathsheba and other things. Oh, God, give me that back. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. What does he say? Restore. He restoreth my soul. Sometimes the sheep can't get this way. They can get cast. And when they're cast, they're on their backs. Oftentimes it's because in their minds they were too comfortable. Their materials, they were too clingy with their wool, had stuff sticking to them. Their motives, they were just wanting to get fat and selfish. I wonder, is that us today? Sometimes we can get that way. You know, if you're anything like me, you have to say, you know what, Lord? I am like the sheep. I do get clingy sometimes, Lord. I do get comfortable sometimes, Lord. Lord, I do get carnal sometimes. Why? Because I'm a sheep. I don't mean to. I don't want to, but I'm not smart, Lord. As you say, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing sometimes. And sometimes I do know what I'm doing, and I do it anyway. That's not smart, Lord. David was a man after God's own heart, folks.
Yes, sir, he was, Pastor.
And David found himself upside down because of a carnal mind, because of his comfort. He should have been at the war. It said the time that kings go to battle, he was comfortable. He was carnal. He was clingy. He wanted somebody's wife that wasn't his own. He's on his back before he knows it. And he had to say, Lord, if you don't do it, I can't be done. He said, Lord, you're going to have to wash me and make me white as snow. Lord, you're going to have to create in me a clean heart. Lord, you're going to have to renew a right spirit in me. Lord, restore unto me the joy. I can't do it. Maybe today you say, I can't do it. I can't do it. You know, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Sometimes we get cast. Lord, help. Sometimes we don't know that we're cast. Sometimes we don't know that we're on our backs. We just know things aren't going right. And they won't go right until God comes and sets you upright. And sometimes, like David would say, Lord, you are my shepherd. I shall not want. Lord, you make me lie down in green pastures. Lord, you lead me beside still waters. Lord, you restore my soul. And Lord, if you don't restore it, I can't be restored. Hey, remember Peter? Peter was restored. Did Peter blow it? Big time. You know what that tells me? You and I can blow it big time. And God can restore us. I don't care what you did this week. I don't care where you've been this week. I don't care what you've fallen into. I don't care if you're on your back because of carnal or your comfort or clingy or whatever it is. Guess what? He can restore your soul. If he could forgive a murderer and an adulterer and a liar like David, guess what? Man, there's room for me. There's room for me. Hey, I'm his sheep. He's my shepherd. He wants to produce something in your life today. What is it that he wants to produce? Maybe rest from those flies. Maybe rest for food. Maybe free from fear and friction. Maybe he might have to give you a fracture so you can look up to him. Maybe he just wants you to come and lie down by the still waters and drink his word and apply it to your life. Or maybe he wants to purify you by restoring you and setting you upright again. I don't know what it is, but you let God speak to your heart today. Let me tell you this. If you're here today and you're not saved, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, he wants to save you today. One of the first things that David said, the Lord, his position is high. He's my shepherd. Before he said anything else, he said, I belong to him. He belongs to me. I possess him. So everything that I can say now is about me and him. Me and him. Can you say that today? Is he your shepherd? And is everything about you and him? Because David said, when my eyes are on the shepherd, guess what? Every life seems good. It's when I take my eyes off the shepherd and come down. Like Dave, Peter had his eyes on Jesus, took his eyes off, and he began to sink. Maybe today you need to trust the shepherd with your life. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and we're looking around. Just for a moment, say, preacher, what do you mean? Maybe I need to trust the shepherd. You need to come as a sinner and say, Lord, I've sinned against you. Lord, I deserve hell. But I hear that you are the one that can forgive me of my sins. You're the Son of God, but you're God himself. You're Jehovah Roi, the Lord my shepherd. Maybe today you need to say, Lord, I need to repent of my sins. And I need to trust Christ as my Savior. I want to pray for you today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, how many would say, preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it, but I'm not absolutely sure I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me today? Anyone like that at all? You raise your hand. You raise it up, and I'll acknowledge it, and you can put it right back down. Man, woman, boy, or girl, all across this auditorium. I'm not sure if I died today, I would go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. I'm one of God's sheep, but I'm not sure I'm a saved sheep. Would you pray for me? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. Christian, how about it? Maybe you say, I'm a saved sheep. But you know what? I haven't been getting the dew off of the Word of God. I haven't been going to the still waters of the Word of God. You know, I've been kind of concerned with these flies, this friction, and this fear, and I can't get the food of the Word of God. You know, I've been plagued by this fracture. I seem to be on my back. Can't seem to get things right. In my mind, I'm too comfortable. I'm material. I'm too heavy. My motives, I'm too lazy and lethargic. I've got so much, but I don't have what I really need. That's the Word of God. Christian, if that's you today, maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar. Give the shepherd your heart and say, Savior, like a shepherd, lead me, feed me, teach me, guide me. Maybe like David, the psalmist, you say, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. It is good for me that I've been afflicted. Maybe you'd say that today. Whatever the need is in your life, would you come down to an old-fashioned altar? Do business with God. He knows what you need. He can lead, but you must follow. Father, bless now this invitation time. Help decisions to be made of eternal value from each person that is under the sound of my voice. Whether it's a man, whether it's a woman, whether it's a boy or girl, help them to see that you truly are their shepherd. And Lord, if they cannot say that of a surety, then help them, Lord, to call upon you as Lord and Savior first, and then shepherd afterwards. Help us, Lord, to do business with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand to our feet. Mrs. Dawson's going to sing a hymn of invitation. As the music plays, God spoke in your heart, you come. Maybe you need to be saved today. Maybe God spoke into your heart. Whatever the decision, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and we're looking around. You come and do business with God. Maybe it's an issue between you and the shepherd. Maybe it's an issue between you and another person. Maybe it's an issue of being on your back with a fracture. And maybe it's the food that you can't seem to get because of the flies and the friction and the fear. Maybe you should check your motives. Maybe check your mind. Maybe check material. Maybe you're just too heavy with the world. Maybe you're too comfortable in your mind. Maybe you've just been eating the wrong things. The shepherd can lead the sheep to the water. But oftentimes the sheep would stop to drink at dirty pools of water on the way that are found in the walking paths that makes them sick. got a hold of some bad water. You didn't get the pure, unadulterated Word of God. Maybe you need to get that today. I don't know where you're at today, but I do know this, that the shepherd is waiting. The shepherd is calling. And the shepherd wants to work in your life today. What is it that you have? David said, Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down. Christians are praying. How about you? Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Give me your heart this morning. About it, maybe you're not saved today. Don't leave without getting it settled. The Spirit of God is speaking to you loud and clear, knocking at your door, asking you, begging you, pleading with you, leading you, but you've got to follow. You've got to say, I'm not saved. If I died today, I'm not sure. Go to heaven. I'm concerned. If you're a man, we get a man to show you how you can be saved. We'll get a lady to show you how, but you must be born again. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but his long-suffering to us. Not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. By grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works. Lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. His mercy and saves. Savior like a shepherd. Let's also sing that chorus one more time. For you being our shepherd, and Lord, we do know that at times we need to be restored. Lord, our soul is comprised of our mind, emotions, and wills, and sometimes, Lord, it's taken by other things. Lord, we're flat on our backs, our feet are up in the air, and like the sheep, we cannot restore ourselves. We cannot sit upright. Lord, help us with those things that would cause us to be that way. Lord, help us to be led by the still waters. Lord, help us to be understanding that sometimes you have to make us lie down in the green pastures where it's good for us to graze and it's good for us to eat. And sometimes we may not like it, Lord, but at the same time, you do it because you love us. Lord, I pray that we might leave here feeling your warm embrace upon our lives, Lord, being challenged in our heart to be the type of sheep that you as our shepherd would be pleased to guide and pleased to govern. Lord, help us not to be stubborn, going our own ways. But when we are, Lord, thank you that you call us by our name. You said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me. Thank you, Lord, that we do hear. We respond even when we're down. Even when we need to be restored, thank you for your restoring power, how you can restore the joy of your salvation in our lives. Lord, minister now. Bring us back tonight to hear from Steve Zimmerman. Lord, I pray that the message will speak to many hearts. You'd meet the need of Miss Reva once again, raise her back up, give traveling grace to those who will be traveling up to see her. And Lord, pray that we can get a good report tonight and to what's going on in her life. Thank you for meeting with us tonight. I ask Pastor White to come up and give us any closing announcements that we need to hear and then close.